when we come to the end of the year, I'll tell you what we pass.
This is, I'm not trying to jump to that conclusion, yes. But I think this is very important for understanding
yes.
what we're doing.
Yes.
Do I understand correctly then that if one were to say that it's exclusively Dam Basulin, then there is no requirement
that's
of
right.
ceasing.
That's correct. That
only,
is a correct assumption. But Michael is saying, let us assume, this is a hypothetical case, let us assume that a woman has had intercourse and we know for certain that this is Dam Basulin. Then it can't possibly work out like that because we can't know for certain, you see.
Right.
If we know for certain that it's Dam Basulin, the law would say then he may continue living with her. Because then we say it's not needed. It's not from the menstrual bag. Then we would say this is from the Dam Basulin. You follow?
I've forgotten your name.
Ships. You understand, ships? Mm-hmm. That's what we would say. We don't paskin like that now.
Yeah, but
now,
if the first night, let's say he doesn't see any blood, okay, and we know for a fact,
let's
say,
she's not born.
Let's say whatever.
Yes.
So there should be no reason why he's not allowed to have beer with it a second night.
Don't ask me that question because that's an halachic question. Now I've got to go into other things. Because that's a halachic question. Pardon?
No, I'm saying I keep getting into the same
Yes, but that's a halachic question.
Yeah.
I want to get through the we are dealing now with the fundamental things.
Yeah.
I just want to say this, that there's another reason also that the Chachomi made, that after the first bial, she needs an adjustment. And this is a very type of tekona. This is a very, she's given that adjustment. After the first bial, she's given the time for adjustment. She's outside of it.
And this has to do with the assumption that it's needed.
No, even if it weren't needed. The only thing is that the Chachomi can't make a tekona unless there is a halachic reason for the takana. You see, Chachomim can't make a takana that that every 15th day of all people have got to stand on their heads. You can't make a takana like that. What they can do that every 15th day of all there can't be any falsity. That they can make it because there's a reason for it. Because on the 15th of Av, certain things used to happen in the Beis HaMikdash. That they can do this because there's halachic grounds for it. They can't make anything for which there is no halachic grounds. So if there is, after the first beer, there's a chance that it can be Dam Midus, then they can make some takonas and say, okay, we are going to make a takona that every, after the first beer, it's a Dam Midus. You follow? Do you understand, Philip?
Yes, I understand, but what I'm wondering is, it's going to be unclear why we paskin now that any blood is taken to be dominated.
The reason why we paskin now that any the halachic reason for it is, the halachic basis for it is because there is a possibility. Women haven't got so definite that in the middle of it they can't be dominated.
But is it going to be unclear why that? Why wasn't that known? Obviously it was known then, but it just wasn't.
You see, in halacha, the way you work is, if there is a reason to ascribe it to, then you've got the right to ascribe it to it. But as time goes on, we become more susceptible to weakness. And even if there is a chance of ascribing it not to Nidus, there is a tendency of man to say, well, I can ascribe it, I can still ascribe it to Dam Basulin. I can still ascribe it. So they make it a con and make it all right. You get the idea clearer of how these takonas work. You'll get it as we go on. You've got some idea from the whole shock to and all that, you've got some idea of how to call this work. Got it? Martin, how are you faring here?
Okay.
All right. Now let us take this. So, at yes, hurry.
It all depends on what you just said to the Rambam.
Yes.
You just repeat.
The Rambam already paskins that after the first beer of a Basulin, we are not holy, that is, we don't ascribe any blood that is seen. We don't ascribe it to Dambasuni, but we say that it's Dambasuni. So what we do is she's got to count 7 clear days. And then she goes to the mikveh. Do you follow?
Right.
In the time of the Mishnah, and in the time of the Mishnah, they said, is it her time to see blood? It's not her time. If it's not her time, then we, and it's just been a bio, and it has been the suri, we ascribe any blood that is the suri. Afterwards, they said,
the Rambam is where it started.
That's, yes, it started before the Rambam, but the Rambam already legislated on that basis.
Okay.
See, and do we ascribe that to a lessening in human fiber or moral fiber, that would say, oh, it could be...
Very easily. Take a lighter view of it.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get.
Oh, yes. Take a lighter view of it. Take a lighter view of it. When you weren't here last week, I gave an example of what is done today, and it's not done by people who don't know. It's done by people who know. There's such a thing as one is not allowed to do a certain thing. The law is, but be the evet, if it has been done, then you pass it. Is that for me? Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thank you, Barry. If you follow, then you pass it. And that is called a bidi evet. Then there's another law, that even bidi evet it's not allowed. But if it's a bishasat chak, you can't help yourself. I gave the example, you've got a chalap, a knife, and a shofar uses it. And the knife is like this. Instead of it being a knife like this, here's the blade, it's like that. The thing is, you're not allowed to shech with a knife like that. What happens if the shochet did shech with a knife like that?
Okay.
And nothing went wrong. If he did, let us assume you can pass it. Then there is a law, let us assume that the law is no. You can't, even if he uses it, you can't use the lamp. But what happens? It's water. This is the only knife that is available, and this is the only animal that is available. And he's already done it. Say, no, you can't use the animal. Because this is only because of the evidence, you can't do it. Yes, but it's a bishasa chak. You could mean that there is nothing to eat. So bishasa chak is allowed. Yes, that is the law. So I came across a case where a rabbi allowed it lechatchilo. You can use that knife. The law is that you can only use it bishasat chak. So, I pointed it out to him. So he said, well, look here, it's a bidi evet. I said, first of all, it's not a bidi evet. You say that he can use that knife. He said, well, it's like a bidi evet. It's not your shochet, it's not my shochet. Just look at it objectively, can you really say? Just for yourself, can you? He said, now suppose you can't say. I said, but the thing is that you can't even use it bidi evet. You can only use it bishasat chak. So he talks to me and he says, you know, you just don't understand. You think that I belong to a congregation, that I am a rov of a community, where everybody is so particular about everything. He said, if I'm going to make any difficulty, they're all going to eat right. What do you expect me to do? And he trades. So must I say it's not it's prohibited? But you can tell the shochet. He said, you think that the shochet? As soon as I tell the shochet, he runs to the president. What kind of a rabbi have you got here? It's making it impossible for me. You know what I'm dealing with here. You see what's happening. There are no standards at all. That's what's happening to your standards. So, what is permitted al yedei achak, he is permitting the Chatzila. And he says, okay, what are you trying to do to me? Use my office, use my job. And you think if I lose my job, you're going to get a better person here? You'll get a person who says you don't need cheat at all. So what are you then trying to do? That is what we're facing today. And it's very difficult to answer. It's very difficult to argue with it. Go and explain to him it's his job, but he's just got to get it right. He's got to work it all through. This is, people are much more likely today. He would say this is not needless, he said this is pursuing. And there's every chance that it's needless. You follow, Philip? So on that, the Chachamim have got the right to do that. Tell the space of it.
That's precisely the argument that was used when the conservative movement officially abandoned
Hitler. Of course.
Precisely
course.
The argument.
Yes, and that is. Well, Michael has just put it to me. How it all starts. Does anybody need the answer?
Yeah.
I haven't.
The hat over there.
Phil, I have one in my car.
Yeah. No, it's all right. I just want to explain something to you. There are two things we've got to understand. The one thing is how careful the Chachomim were. They are not only the preservers of the Torah, they are not only the teachers of the Torah, but they are the guardians of the Torah. They are the guardians of the law. You've got no idea how easy it is once a breach is made. You've got no idea how easy it is for the whole thing to crumble. And Michael has just reminded me. You start. No mechitza. No. Where's the spider? You follow? You know the words? Let the women sit on the one side, the men on the other side, but no division in between. I must tell you that in South Africa, in Johannesburg, where we had a very fine Bezdin, a synagogue would never build a synagogue without coming to show the plans to the Bezdin and to discuss it with the Bezdin. It happened once in my experience, it happened twice actually, but this was an interesting case. It happened once in my experience where the architect brought the plans to the Bezdin, and the president of the congregation was here. And he was very excited and he gave the plan to the Bezdin. And we have a gallery, and the women sit in the gallery. And he brought this plan to the Bezdin, it was here. And then the gallery was on the side, but it wasn't quite a gallery. And the architect got up in front of the Bezdin and he delivered an address of what it was he was trying to achieve. That to bring the women right into the body of the synagogue. So he listened very carefully to him and looked at the plan and he said, and now could you make plans for us and bring it back to show us where you take the women right out of the body. What happened, Jack? Anyway, we discussed this very nicely, very maturely and very gentlemanly. The president was very upset about it because he thought it was going to be a beautiful synagogue. The president is a great personal friend of mine until this very day. Phones me from South Africa, Very great personal friend of mine. Anyway, and he started fighting for this. What are our minimum requirements? We said our minimum requirements are that a man cannot stand here and hand a prayer book, not a siddur even if they do, hand a prayer book and a woman can lean over and take the prayer book. If he could do that, that isn't suitable. Those were our standards. and he started fighting it. I broke down. I was in tears. I said, this is going to be the first time that you are breaking it. And when he saw that I took it like that, he said, you don't have to worry. It will be exactly as you want. They built a most beautiful synagogue. But that was the death. No man could stand here and stand the prayer. That was the standard. And that was preserved. You break down, you take down the machitza. The women are still sitting on separate sides. The next step is sit together. After they sit together, the next step is you count them to a minyan. After you count them to a minyan, the next step is the ladies are called to the reading of the Torah. Why shouldn't they be called to the reading of the Torah? After they are called to the reading of the Torah, is there a next step or does it end?
Yes, then I go to the gallery.
No. That would be good. That would be progress. That would be good.
What's the next step? Rabbis.
No, it's step before.
Well, rabbis. Cantors.
Then the next step is they can already take the service and they can learn it. Then the next step is that they become rabbis. Once you start, that is the way it goes. There is a deterioration in all this. And the Chachamim were very, very careful not to give it that opportunity to reach that stage. And the whole thing breaks down. The whole thing breaks down. Give it that. The reason why women are separate from men is not that it is anything denigrating about the woman. It's a compliment to the woman. Women are very attractive as far as men are concerned. And the more attractive they are, and they should be attractive. A woman should be attractive, especially to her husband. And a woman is expected to look after herself, and very much so. And as we've already seen in the Gemara, there are certain laws that a woman is permitted to do during a time of mourning and a man is not permitted to do. There are certain things that a woman is permitted to do even on Shabbos that a man isn't permitted to do. There are certain things that a woman is permitted to do during the 9 days before Tisha B'Av that a man isn't permitted to do. Her requirements of hygiene are different from a man. And the Gemara takes it into consideration. She is attractive to a man. And the more attractive she is to the man, the more he is attracted to her, and the less he is attracted to his devotion. And then there is no kavona in his devotion. No kavona. His kavona is elsewhere. Now it doesn't work like that with a woman. It doesn't work like that with a woman. A woman isn't so attracted to a man as a man is attracted to a woman. A man, he smells scent and he's already particular type of perfume, and they know already what type of perfume they must use. It's written on the bottle. But that's what it is. But if a man uses perfume, it doesn't say this attracts the ladies. It doesn't.
Recently, they're working on it now. They're trying to perfect that.
Well, the men are not what they used to be once upon a time. That's all it is. You follow? This isn't. That's the way it works. A woman is affected by touch. A man by sight. What he sees is already. What he smells is already. Sees women's garments is it's already pictures. It's not that.
This is just to support that they recently did, and it was written up in a journal, a very very comprehensive study, reflecting trying to determine whether women responded to pornographic film.
Yes.
You know, where they have the things where you actually wire a tactile response. You don't ask the woman afterward, and the conclusion was they absolutely do not. That it's only in extraordinary cases that men, the majority of men, respond. cool. to pornographic visual images. Yeah. Women do not. And the women's movement is very upset about the conclusion that we're
getting to that point.
What's going to be
the Playgirl magazine is bought by women at all.
Yeah, Playgirl magazine is bought by homosexual men.
It's not for years.
Yeah.
Well, these are just the facts of it. But it all comes from this particular thing. When you start letting it go, you see, and it's just a deterioration. And that is why I say today is... The machitza today means much more than it did 100 years ago. It's a last-ditch stand. This is a last-ditch stand. You let the machitza go, the whole thing goes now. This is a last-ditch stand. You know, I was very taken up, and Michael, you do pictures. A picture that made a tremendous impression upon me, we took our children to see it at least 3 times, was the Nuremberg trials.
Judgment of Nuremberg.
It came just at a time when we felt we wanted our children to know about it. That tremendous. And there is a scene there where it turns out that there's one decent judge amongst the accused. I mean, pardon? And this one decent judge afterwards calls the presiding judge, asks him to come and see him in his cell. And in his cell he gives him some papers and he says to the judge, there's nobody that I would like these papers to be with more than you. Sort of suggesting to him that whatever, and during the trial he says, look, I'm guilty, there's just no question about it, I did do these things, it's all right, the others tried to excuse themselves, he didn't even try to excuse himself, he said, this is right. Then he said to the presiding judge, the German judge said to the presiding judge, believe me, I had no idea when I sentenced my first innocent man, I sentenced him to fit in with these laws that were made, I had no idea that it would come to all this. And the presiding judge said to him, when you sentenced your first innocent man, then it had already come to all this. That is the position in which we find ourselves today. You break down your machitza, you've got the whole thing. Just the whole thing goes. You can't keep it back after that. Impossible to keep back. And as far as the woman is concerned, it's a compliment to her. By no means any denigration at all. We recognize that. We recognize that weakness in ourselves and that strength as far as women are concerned. There's just no question about it. Philip, what do you want to say?
That standard of handing a prayer book, was that a lot to share with you, or just one that you established for yourself?
Well, we felt that was the purpose of it, that there shouldn't be this contact, you see. Mm-hmm. Meisher Feinstein, for example, Paskins, that there's no law that you mustn't see the woman. If she says that's no law. The law is the question of being nearby, you see. Being next to, that right. is to say.
Well, the rhythm is sight. You're not touched, but sight is
the yes, but you don't have it absolutely next. And the way they do it is you have either the machitza, or you've got the women at the back, or the women in the gallery. Look here, if a man is going to stand during the Shemana Esra like this all the time, or like this all the time, what can you do? It's just like the Gemara, where one of the Roman generals say to one of the Tannoim, if it is wrong to serve Avodah Zorah, then why does your God allow Avodah Zorah to exist, allow idols to exist, if you destroy idols? So the Tanna answered him, look here. If you would only serve blocks of stone and wood, of course God would destroy it and there wouldn't be anything. But you choose to serve the sun and the moon. Somebody destroy the sun and the moon because you are like that. You can't destroy everything. You take reasonable precautions. So they are upstairs. Good, they're in the gallery. So man's can't go beyond that. But that is more or less how it goes. Now please, I've got to get a little bit further with you. Tinoke Shilohi gears the mano liros when he says. Spider, are you with me in all this? Good.
Yeah. I'm anyway, David.
David is it going a little bit? All right. these diversions are not because I think that you can't take 3 hours of it. That's not the reason. The diversions are because I take the opportunity of expanding the horizons. Right. Tinoka says, Mosif Rav Chisda asks, Tinoka shallow he gears among the heroes and he says, this is a girl that is a shoe seam that she's nearly 12 years old and she's never had a menstrual flow. And she gets married. Beishamai only knows ni lo arbo leinos. Beishamai says, we give her 4 nights. So, the first night, any dam, dam basulim. Second night, third night, fourth night, dam basulim. Fifth night, we say that's dam nidus. But she's never seen it. She's seen it now. So, what happens? So we take it as dam nidus and she goes to the mikveh and 1 month passes and 2 months passes and 3 months passes and he says, he comes to the bed and you see, you made a mistake. I said, my dear man, the mistake would have been if we said it was dam basulim and it proved to be dam nidus, then it would have been a mistake. But if it's dam, we said that it might be dam nidus and it proved to be dam basulim, that's not a mistake. That you've got to remember. That's the difference. All right. Ubeishile omri, Ubeishile says, ad shetechayo hamako, until the wound heals. So Hillel says that the criterion is, as long as there is still a wound, we ascribe the flow of blood to the wound and not to menstruation. So it's a difference of opinion between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. All right? Yes?
Is the fact that Beis Hillel says, until the wound is healed, established for us in any way, whether it's Dom Yitzchak Papir or Dom Kabur?
No. Oh, pardon?
That's just what Marpet said.
No, it doesn't. That doesn't help.
You can't use that.
No, we can't have it. Yet I'm prepared to tell you, Sheps, that we paskin like Beis Hillel in this particular case. We usually paskin Beis Hillel, but by no means always. There are enough cases where we don't paskin like Beis Hillel. But this case we paskin like Beis Hillel. Anyway, but it doesn't affect us, you see, because the law is different today.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
were there any minimum standards as far as how old a girl had to be before she can get married, or this was, there was none set?
Why was what set? No, that is, it shouldn't be later than that.
Oh,
that's yes. That is the time. that is the time to get married. That's the time to get married. Not that it's got to be then, that's the time to get married.
For
reason, right? All right. He gears the man of heroes. Now, and he, let us say it's a girl of 14 years of age, and she he gears the man. I'm sorry. He gives the man or heroes that the time has come for her to see, but she hasn't seen yet. Don't forget, that's what it means. She is now a girl of 12 and a half. Is that the age, approximately? She is 12 and a half, but she's never seen, she's never had a menstrual flow. And she gets married, and she has the first beer, she's got the first intercourse, and there's blood after the first intercourse. Then, Beis Shammai Omrim Nosni Lo Lailo Horishon. Beis Shammai says, you give her the first night and that is all. Uveis Hillel Omri, and we say, since it can come any moment now, we say, the whole of the first night, if not only the first beer, if you make the second beer the first night, we say it's also right. So you can make a third beer the first night. Yes, there's no law for
what does it mean you give her the first
knowledge? As Dambasuli. Oh. I've just translated a Hebrew expression, you see. Spider?
If this tomorrow is all postulated on flow of Dham, what if there is no flow of Dham? If the hymen has been broken somehow, I
should
have.
Yeah. Well, as far as the Gemara is, according to the law of the Gemara, as far as the law of the Gemara is concerned, then there's nothing else. Then it's no dam at all. According to the Gemara, it's only when you see dam that we start working with these things. If no dam, then there's no dam.
It's also no reflection on the character. Assume that there is a possibility that it may not have.
That's problematic. That is problematic.
The Sephardim have that a minhag that they hang up the sheet the next day.
Have we pardon?
Sephardim.
Ever?
In Israel today, too. They hang up the sheet the next day outside to prove that she was a psula.
Well, I just want to tell you, I've never seen that done. Are you
When I was in Israel, I heard there was a whole thing like that.
I must tell you that I have never seen it done. And I want to tell you that that's not Torah.
That's a what?
That's not Torah.
That's a minhag then.
I don't know if it's a minhag. Uh-huh. You know, there are all kinds of minhag. There is, for example, if people have got a minhag to wear a black band around their arms for funerals, doesn't mean anything according to the din. That's not a minhag. We speak about a minhag as a precedent. Then those are the minogim that we deal with. But if a person just does a minog that has no meaning and no reason for it and no source for it, we don't do it. I just want to tell you, are you a father?
No.
Any father here? Are we pardon?
No, sir.
For your
sake. Sorry, sir,
the Rochel Dakeda is ways of ways of sin. It's ways of ways of sin. Rochel Dakeda. It's ways of ways of sin. Now you know that a woman covers her hair. When she gets married, she covers her hair. She is entitled to make the covering as attractive as she possibly can. Perfectly enough. It happened once in my presence that somebody said to my uncle, they decided to drop her, the Hungarians, some of the Hungarians, shave off the hair of the girl. And my uncle shouted. And he said, are they took me? One doesn't do that. It's the Rochel Dakeda. And do that. We would never allow that to be done under any circumstances. Got the same applies to that. Any public demonstration of any kind, there is an insensitivity about it. There is something that is uncouth about it. There is even something that is coarse. A woman needn't put on talis and tefillin. A man need only put on one pair of tefillin, and that is Rashi. Rashi's grandson disagreed with his father on how the tefillin should be made. Today, there are some people who, after they put on the tefillin of Rashi, put on the tefillin of the Rabbeinu, but never in shul. Not a person who knows his work. Not a person who knows his work. He will never do it as true.
What's written,
sir? Something indelicate about it. You don't have to do it. But you are so particular, so meticulous, and so righteous, and so pious, and so pure, and so holy, that you do it. but not a public demonstration. Not a public demonstration.
I thought I saw it.
That's
why I didn't do it at all.
I'm sorry,
Chef. I thought I saw it. I didn't say I do it.
I didn't mean to use the gist.
Oh. You never thought you did it, don't
you? You know, they tell that wonderful story about Bertrand Russell and G.E. Moore. Bertrand Russell himself tells the story. He says that G.E. Moore was the most upright person that he had ever met in his life. And both of them were professors at Cambridge at the same time. And he tells the story of how he was walking once with Moore at the back, behind one of the colleges or some of the colleges, and Bertrand Russell says, and I suddenly turned upon Moore, and I said to him, Moore, Have you ever told a lie in your life? And Moore said, no. I'm sorry. He said, Moore, have you ever told a lie in your life? And Moore said, yes. Without batting an eyelid. And Russell said that that is the only lie that Moore had ever told. But that was exactly what Moore had to say. When I heard that, I couldn't understand from where Moore got it. I couldn't understand from where he got it. Until I discovered that is Derech Eretz. And the Torah expects Derech Eretz from a goy also, not only from a Jew. That is Derech Eretz.
What is Derech Eretz?
Say, pardon?
Yeah, for it.
Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz is a matter of decency, behavior, conduct that applies to everybody. But when Moore said yes, and Bertrand Russell introduces the story, he says, Moore has told only one line of life. And then Bertrand Russell says, I was responsible for it. But that's exactly what he had to say. And there's a Gemara for that. There's a Gemara for that. The Gemara discusses the four times that you all have been permitted to tell a lie. And one of the four times is, if anybody asks you, do you know the whole of this Gemara? And you do, you are entitled to say no, and that's only half.
Either
that. That is the. You follow. So to put out the sheets, that's not terrible.
I'm not fabricating. I actually saw this.
You see, there is a lot that is done, but it's done because one doesn't really know what it's all about. One has the mechanics of it, but not the soul of it.
Well, the way they explained it to me is the fact that the family is very proud to exhibit
it's an exhibition, you see.
Right, exactly.
The man who puts on the veil who comes to fill in it. You don't do that. You go home, pull down the curtain, pull down the blind, put on your bainu tamas tefillin and take them off and put them away. You don't do it. And if everybody asks you, do you put on a bainu tamas tefillin, you say no, and you're entitled to say no. That's the way to do it. A woman doesn't have to put on a talis and tefillin. And if women come together, put the talis over her head, the tefillin on, doesn't have to do it. You want to do it. Close the door. Do it. But not an exhibition. You don't have to. Not an exhibition, not a demonstration.
The hardest thing to explain to anyone.
You're not saying
what,
Charles.
No, but I mean, try to explain to someone what is Derech Eretz and what is the right view on something when they say, show me the halakha that forbids it, and they're into their particular view is. They demand that they assert their
rights. I'm speaking to people. I mean, there are things that one doesn't do in public, which one feels is just too much. Too much. It's just too much. I might do it in private. In public, it's just too much. You don't do it. There's an expression in Hebrew, I'm not going to give you the origin of the verb. Magale tefach u'machase tefochai. That's a Torah, I was almost going to say that terrible word concept. That's a Torah postulate. Magale tefach u'machase tefochai. Uncovers a tefach, that's so much, and covers two tefochai. You follow what I mean?
No.
You uncover so much that you cover up so much. Tremendous amount is that. Can you experience a sense of feeling in that?
I'm lost.
Oh, you lost.
Explain that to the example. I don't feel like I'm part of it.
Well, I don't want to explain a specific example. It's like explaining a joke, the half deal.
I have to do that pretty often.
This is something that you either catch yourself or it's better not caught. But you can't yourself that in your conduct there is a certain amount of reserve which you show. there's a certain amount which you cover up. There is something in understatement that rather in saying everything, you don't say everything. There's an understatement. Rather than understatement and an overstatement. The way the Gemara explains it is, Magale Tefach Umachaset Bohai. Sometimes you must uncover. So you uncover a Tefach, but you cover up. The way of explaining. And that is Torah. And that is Derech Eretz. But an exhibition of something? Chefs, please, I'm speaking very impersonally and very abstractly, you see. I take all these examples to show you what it's all about in order that we should be able, in order that we should be able just to understand and to appreciate what it's saying about here. The understatement of it all. Blessedness shouldn't be an exhibition, a demonstration of it. You don't have to do that. There is always something that is indelicate about it. Something that is uncouth. Even goes into coarseness. Shouting about it. Keep it to yourself as much as possible. That is what the idea. All these Magale Tefach, Magale Tefach and Mechasis Tefachai, and there are Cheo Darche Noach. It's the way the Gemara speaks about this. Your Cheo Darche Noach. Certain things that, according to the deen, we would do. But one doesn't do it because of Cheo Darche Noach. That's quite right.
Yes? Yeah, I've heard of the Jews described as the modest people, yeah. People who are modest. Yeah. Seems to me that modesty is wide
in
many levels.
Yes, you see, the word for modesty in that respect is irreverent.
Yeah.
Listen to this. The word is greed. Now, the word greed comes from the word so you are, or if it's feminine, or. And it means hidden. The word clear. Hidden, covering up. One covers up as much as possible. You don't have to flaunt your knowledge. You don't have to flaunt your piety. You don't have to flaunt your goodness.
In fact, it seems special to keep something in reserve, so you only work reserve.
I was going to tell you a certain person, but it's certainly clear you did a lot. There's also wealth in that. He would be called to the reading of the Torah and he would make a donation. $50. He wouldn't have made a donation. But he would send in $500. But he wouldn't make a public demonstration. And he wouldn't say Matola.
What's wrong with that?
You know, one should be articulate.
Well, Martin Bethesda is the highest form of production.
But isn't that a much better form of Martin the Saint? Well, he says Maton and everybody says, I wonder how much that Maton is going to be. So give him $50 after he sends his back. I was told something, but I don't believe it's true. I saw in a certain federation that there was $50,000 put aside for something. I don't remember the word they used. I'd never heard of that word before because I didn't know the language so well. So I gave it to a specialist and I said, what is this $50,000? What does this $50,000 mean? So he said, those are people who make donations and don't pay them. They make pledges and don't pay them. So this is a write-off. So before the campaign begins, they put $50,000. They bring it a million. They put down $50,000 for, I don't know what name, but can anybody remember the name? I guess it was a strange word. I don't remember what it was. Put it off, you see. I can't believe that is possible. They tell me that is what happened. You see. But this person, his name is Mr. Maurice Rakowski. He lives in New York now. He used to live on the continent. I lived with him for several months. He used to make a donation of $50, but the check used to go in $500. It's all emor ma'atzah, say how they say little, do much. All part of the same principle. But then, if the Torah gives these things, we are expected to abide by it. We expect it to live by it. That somebody on a Friday night at shul, no stranger would be allowed to pass without seeing that he'd come to his house on Friday night. Anybody in town knew. I was at his table one Friday night, and there was the beautiful white tablecloth linen. Not polyester. And then there was the cutlery, silver.
Not plate.
Not plate. Then there was the cutlery, not paper. Rosenthal. The Friday night table. This is the first time I've ever seen it done. I've heard that it was done. And we sat down to a meal. And there was the kiddush, washing, everything. We were ready at the meal. And during the meal, he filled his cup again with wine, and any of him, and spilled right across the table, the wine. He did that on purpose. He saw that one of the guests was, he didn't know how he was going to eat it. You're dirty with a tablecloth there. I'd heard of it, but I saw it. What's the matter? Hey, pardon?
Michael,
there's still wine all over Nancy. Thanks to Michael, that's not why I did it. That's honesty. Now, the correct thing would have been before you did it for Michael to have heard it over Nancy. All right.
The bottle of wine grabbed the bottle of wine?
Yes, of course.
It threw it over the table.
Yes, he spilt it. I was sitting. He was sitting where David was sitting, and I was sitting where Talia was sitting. I could see what was happening.
The guest
was upset. He felt uncomfortable, you see. He felt uncomfortable. He didn't know how to. There was even a knife for the fish there. He didn't. He didn't know how to use a fish knife. He was accustomed. He was accustomed to use it only with a fork to eat it. He didn't know what it was all about. Yeah.
I feel a wound.
So these were the things.
But we speak about internal bleeding.
I'm just saying. This is Torah. When the Torah says, it's ways of pleasantness, say a little and do much. Uncover a tefach, but cover two tefachim. All this, that is the whole soul of the Torah. That is the whole. And the Torah says, Im ein derech eretz ein Torah. If there's no derech eretz, there's no Torah. Spider, you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I still have my own questions.
Well, what do you want to ask?
No, the questions
you asked. Oh, if you ask yourself, oh, that's right. Right, just let us finish this now.
Rabbi,
this piece of morning.
Yes? If you have a guest at your table that, let's say, would be uncomfortable washing their hands because that's strange to them, which takes preference?
No, there you teach him how to wash his hands. There's nothing.
But what if he's embarrassed? I mean,
there's nothing to be embarrassed about that. You see, if a person is embarrassed about something that he shouldn't be embarrassed about, for example, if I wear a shirt and everybody is sitting with bare, what do they call it? No shirts on. Must I feel embarrassed or must they feel embarrassed? If somebody comes to a shiur of mine,
you'll both feel embarrassed.
Well, I don't have to feel embarrassed. I remember.
Yeah, but in this case, it's a matter of halakha, you see. It's not a matter of taste.
I don't know. You've got to know, be embarrassed at that place. I remember that I was once being entertained in a certain home. It wasn't in Johannesburg. And a lady came in, and really, by any standards, one just doesn't go dressed like that. I mean, even in one's bedroom, I don't go dressed like that. And everybody looked at me. And I felt constrained to make a remark, which wasn't taken very kindly. I said,
Why are you looking at me? I'm properly dressed. I don't have to feel embarrassed. She's got to feel embarrassed. If she doesn't feel embarrassed, even if I feel embarrassed. You've got to know where it is. You follow, Philip?
Yes.
That's right. Well, now let us please finish this. Now, this is now we are speaking about a girl who's already 12 and a half and she hasn't seen. Then the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is different one. Beis Shammai only knows ni nor laila horishon. Beis Shammai says we give her the first night, and however many beers he makes on the first night, we say it's dam basulim. But after with the first night, if she sees, then we say it's dam nidus. Uveis Hillel omrim ad motzoi shavus arbo leilos. He said, now this is a girl, she can see any moment. So he says we give her 4 nights until Saturday night, motzoi shavus. So what does it mean, Sheps? The first night is?
Oh, the Wednesday night.
Then. Wednesday night. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, motzoi shavus. So those are the 4 nights. Says Beit Hillel, you give her 4 nights. Says the Gemara over to the next says, my love. What does this mean? What does it mean? It gives her 4 nights until Motzoi Shabbos. Surely it means the ilo boal moti boal. That if he hasn't yet made a beer, if he hasn't yet had intercourse, then he has intercourse. He can have the first intercourse the first 4 days. That is including Friday night. Says the Gemara, no. And he can make it Friday night. So we see from this Mishnah that he's allowed to make the first beer on Friday night. You understand the proof? Beis Hillel says that he can make the, he can, we give her Ad Motzoi Shabbos 4 nights. Oh, pardon? Yeah, now, I just have to explain something to you. The first half of a beer is called a ha'aror. The first part of the beer is called a ha'aror. And that is, the first part is, he doesn't make a complete entry. When he doesn't make a complete entry, a proper entry, it is called a ha'aror. So the Gemara takes it to mean when Beis Hillel says that we give her until Motzoi Shabbos 4 nights. He says that means that if the first night and the second night he didn't make a full beer, we give her until Saturday night. And all that time it is dam basulim. So if he didn't make a proper beer, it means that he's still making a beer which is causing blood to flow on Friday night, which shows that one is permitted to make the first beer on Friday night. So what's the difference? Yes? What do you want to do?
Doesn't that sound like a terribly weak proof? I mean,
what?
The problem that I have is there's so many other... In other words, he wouldn't... the situation in which he would actually be making the first beer... In other words, you have to assume that the man has made a partial beer and has produced some dumb...
The first night.
Yes. And he continues to... You see, but that's the problem. I mean, what is the nature of the problem that I have is once he's made dumb appear.
Yes.
How can it be that it would take three tries before you had one that counts?
He makes haroas each time. He doesn't make a full beer. He makes
each time he makes.
Yeah.
Who knows? Why would he do it?
I mean, pardon?
Why would he do it?
Sometimes he wants to spare his trade. Yes,
but this is the difficulty. He's already produced dung.
Yes.
How physiologically could you produce dung if you haven't completed making the petal?
Partial tear only.
If you haven't
partial tear.
But wouldn't that count by what we're talking about? Wouldn't even a partial tear be making a petal?
Well, that no. But it's a possibility that it's speaking even according to the Manda Omer, says Dam Mechpat Chaburi. It says in that case, and it says it's permitted to do so. So we've got a clear proof that he is tearing. Nevertheless, it's permitted to do that on Shabbos.
Only because of Kilkel.
whatever it is, but it's, we've got that permitted. That's the main thing at the moment. But we're going to see too soon that the Gemara would say it's not a proof. See, we've tried to find all proof. Let's finish this piece of Gemara where the Gemara says it's not a proof. Rabbi Yaakov David, are you right there?
Oh, yes.
I haven't given you attention this evening. Oh my brother! You see, what I like about this sheer is not only that's intelligent. If people aren't intelligent, I've got no trouble with them. Because they don't come three times. They drop out to me. I don't have to worry about that. So I only get intelligent people. And I only get refined people. It's always been like that. The people that have been round about me have only been intelligent and refined. I repel coarse people. Fortunately, I didn't find that out until only a few years ago, which is very good. Now, but that's not sufficient. Intelligence is very good because you want bright and intelligent. Then it's really good. Yeah, I've got brightness and intelligence. I've got no idea what it means. No idea what it means. Oma Rova. Said Rova, no, levar mi Shabbos. What it means is outside of Shabbos. Shabbos is not allowed to do it. You can learn it that way. Omar le Abaya said Abaya to Rova, beho ad melzoi Shabbos arbo leilis ketoni. It says till melzoi Shabbos, and it says 4 nights. If it's 4 nights, then if it would say just 4 nights, I would say Wednesday night, Thursday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. If it would say ad melzoi Shabbos, I would say Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Saturday night. But it says, till Saturday night, 4 nights. So there's only one way of doing it, of interpreting it. That is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. The only way you can do it. So you see that you are allowed to do it on Friday? Answers the Gemara, Kesheboal. Asks the Gemara, Kesheboal. It means if he's allowed to do it on Friday night if he already made a proper beer before. Asks the Gemara, E Kesheboal, Michael Mashmalon. If he's already made a beer, then what does he let us know? Of course he's allowed to do it. Answers the Gemara, Komashmalon. The Shori Lamival, the Shabbos Kili Shmuel. One is allowed to make the beer on Shabbos Shmuel, the Omar Shmuel. Because Shmuel said, Pirzo de Chuko, Mutel Lichonet Bebe Shabbos. If a person, it's a very difficult entry, but it's a very difficult entry, but there is already an entrance, but the entrance is narrow and it's a difficult entry, it is permitted to do it on Shabbos, the afar pishe meisher tsuras, and although, whilst doing it, there may be some blood that is caused because of the difficult entry, nevertheless, that is permitted to do it on Shabbos. We are going to end it there. I haven't touched the Rashi with it. I've just sort of given you some idea of what the Gemara is. And next time we'll be able to go through this Gemara together with the Rashi. And new subjects crop up here. You forced me into a position tonight to deal with the Malach of Schito and rinsing and squeezing. And I explained to you that that was part of Mechanic, of separating. What you haven't forced me yet into, although you came pretty close to it last week, very close to it, say, what kind of a malocha is chaburo? Making a wound. What kind of a malocha is it? Actual making of a wound.
How can that relate to what a malocha is fulfilling?
That's right. How can it do it? There is a very interesting machlokas.
Is there a difference between a chaburo and a petach?
Yes, petach is bingo. Is building.
Petah is a wound, it's not a
malacha. But making a wound, buddy, what kind of a malacha is making a wound? So, for example, shechito is forbidden on Shabbos.
Yeah, funny.
Now, there are two views on it. The strange thing is that Rashi has a very strange view. And I'm just telling you Rashi's view, although Rashi doesn't bring it here, but he brings it in the Gemara on Shabbos. Rashi's view there is that the isur of wounding is that of coloring. So, tzviyo, tzeva. One is not allowed to color. Because in the Beit HaMikdash, they colored the various things. There was red, there was crimson, there was purple, there was blue, taken from the chilazon, from the shellfish, there to kill it. And it's a question of coloring. And the question is also, what isur is here, the coloring? And here, the answer that the Sheet of Mekubetzes gives is, according to Rashi, it's very good, he says. Rashi says that wounding, one causes, the blood comes and one causes coloring. He said, yeah, he wants the sheets coloring. He wants the sheets colored. That's exactly what he wants. And it seems that Rashi's Shita is that the reason that Dam Hutzor is the reason he wants Dam is he wants to prove to himself that she is a Basula. He wants to prove to himself that she is a Basula. And since he wants to prove to himself that he is a Basula, he wants the Dam and he wants the coloring. If there's Dam and there's no coloring, it can't be proved. So he wants the coloring. Anyway, that is, I haven't discussed with you really, what is the malocha, what is the work of a chabur, of making a wound? What kind of a work is it? Of the Lamates malocha. But then we are only on the fringe of the 39 types of malocha. Sroll, and will you be able to be here fairly early next week so that we can go through the Rashi? I'm making myself available on Tuesday morning for Gemara at my hotel. Those who can spare 90 minutes or so.
What time?
It's more or less to suit yourselves. Not too late. Not too early.
Eight o'clock.
8 o'clock. I would like you to, if you could give Michael the names, in case... If I have to make it later, I might be able to do it, work elsewhere. Is there anywhere else where we could work?
Who am I?
That wouldn't be a bad idea. Should we make it like Lachashilo?
That's the day of
Hashilo. Sure.
Is that all right?
Somebody the other?
Now you're really getting on.
Is David also at house at 8 o'clock?
At 8 o'clock, 5. Is that all right?
Where's your house?
I'll find you out.
And then I go over the stuff again. David, thank you very much. Yeah.